Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Rob Bradford here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. He is presented by McFarland Energy. Bradford, I don't want to keep you waiting. We want to get you right in. How's everything going?
Oh, it's great, man. Was Sonny Gray going to be your random baseball player of the day today?
Not today.
Spoiler alert.
You mean Pickles?
We had to punt on that. We were just reading the latest from Bradfo up now on WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter at Bradfo. Of course, baseball isn't boring. I like this line in here from you, Rob. The three-time All-Star is reliable, and while Gray is a perceived top-of-the-rotation option for the Red Sox, he wouldn't seem to be the caliber of starting pitcher Craig Breslow was hinting at earlier this offseason. So what do you make of the trade?
I only deal in facts. Those are facts. First of all, I don't think you can really criticize the Red Sox for the trade because it does what everybody wants them to do, which is try to win in 2026. Like, there is that is undeniable when it comes to looking at this trade. You took on, you know, a fair amount of money. Now, I know they're getting $20 million back, but still, you're still paying a pretty decent chunk. You're giving up two guys who might be major league, probably are major leaguers, and you're getting a guy for 1 year. I mean, 1 year. So, and he's part of the solution, not part of the problem. Now, where I wrote that, and this has to be part of the conversation, is this the guy that Craig Breslow was talking about, the GM meetings, to walk side by side, hand in hand, with Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation? And he's not. I mean, that's not where Sonny Gray is at this point in his career. 2 years ago? Yeah, 2023, that guy? Sure. But not the guy that we saw last year. That doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher. That doesn't mean he can't be a number three starter. But still, like, that's not this guy. So that's what we sort of have to wait and see. But I think ultimately what you have to look at this trade, like, hey, good for them. I don't think they gave up guys who are really going to hurt you down the road. And even if you do, so what? So what? Don't you want to win now? And this helps you win now.
And really just an upgrade over, you know, best friend of the show, Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
Like, fair to say.
He
had a good year, but he's just, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Sonny Gray gets the ball and goes. And for 1 year, roughly that price tag, is that kind of what we're looking at here?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And I think the problem is that everybody in this, they sort of paint themselves into this corner by saying, we're not worrying about 3 through 10. We're worrying about 1 and 1.5. And so what, everybody's so focused on getting that guy, like I said, the Joe Ryan guy, and we're going to have to see if they get him. But I don't know how you can really criticize him too much, because this is the type of trade where I would scream and yell, like, why wouldn't you do it? I don't want to, like, be clinging to prospects. I don't want to be clinging to the idea that Richard Fitz someday is going to be a number three starter, or Brandon Clark is going to pop off out of nowhere. Maybe they will. I don't know. But all I know is what you have now is a World Series contending team if everything breaks the right way and you keep adding to them. So that's what they did. They kept adding to it.
So Yeah, I like this trade. I'm curious, how do you think Sonny Gray stacks up compared to guys like Dylan Cease and Framber Valdez, who are free agents, and some of the other names that we've been brought up before, like Mackenzie Gore, Hunter Green, Sandy Alcantara? Do you put him in that same realm, or is he below those guys? How do you rank him?
It's to me, Rich, it's two different buckets, honestly. One, because of the age. I mean, yeah. Happy birthday to Sonny Gray. Just turned 36 on November 7th.
Happy birthday, Pickles.
Yeah, Pickles. There you go.
This season, because I understand your point. Like, Dylan Cease is going to be a lot of years and a lot of money. Yeah, but, like, for the 26th season, is he as...
No, he doesn't have guys? Does he have the upside that a Dylan Cease does, a Mackenzie Gore does? No, but what he does have is sort of that reliability. You mentioned Giolito, same sort of deal, that reliability that the guy pitched, 32 games last year? The last 3 years, he's pitched at least 28. In 2023, he was that elite guy, but that was 2023. I think that you still are looking for the upside guy. And that's the Cease, that's the Gore, and, you know, maybe they blow up, but I think this is a very, very reliable guy. And you mentioned Giolito. I'll mention, like, another one, you know, what maybe they thought they were going to get in Walker Buehler, which they clearly didn't, this is a guy who's not going to walk guys, who's pitched in big games, who's going to give you innings, who is going to give you good starts. But, you know, is he going to win the Cy Young? No, probably not. But still, like, that's okay. I still think that you got to go after the upside guy because, you know what? That's what they said they were going to go after, the upside guy.
Okay, well, I agree with all this, and I agree this move in a vacuum, like, I'll give up prospects for a guy who can help you right now. And I think, by the way, Brandon Clark had been ranked fifth in the organization, but Baseball America came out with their top 10 yesterday. There was a bunch of pitchers who had passed him by. Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early, their first-round pick a year ago, Kyson Witherspoon, Perales, Valera, like a bunch of pitchers have passed him by. So fine, okay, you're dealing a guy who might not even be a top 10 prospect. I'm fine with all that. I will push back on you saying there's no downside to the trade or nothing to be upset about with the trade. I'm not going to fault Baseball Ops. I like what Baseball Ops did. Is ownership looking at this as like a big splashy move? Here's $20 million we're spending because the Cardinals are, or $21 million, the Cardinals are eating the other 20. Is ownership going to look at this as one of their big moves, or is this just a small move in a bigger offseason? That's the main thing I'm wondering about, because if this is just one small move and they're getting some of the names you said, Dylan Cease or Mackenzie Gore, and they're adding bats in free agency, great. If this is a big move on the pitching side with one bat, that's not going to be enough.
Well, ultimately, it's not that big a move financially. It's like, this is Walker Buehler. And so, did we say that about Walker Buehler last year? No. So the answer is, there's no possible way they could view this as, oh, this is one of the big moves. And it comes back to what we said before, guys, is that if we're going to look at the debt, we cannot forget the Rafael Devers trade, because that trade was the foundation of it was the money coming back. How are you going to spend the money? They will not definitively say, this is how we're going to spend the money, but still, at the end of the offseason, you want to see them spend the money. And this doesn't chip into that at all, I don't think. To answer your question, no. This isn't a John Henry is going to be smoking a cigar in front of the fireplace move.
Okay,
right?
Good. No.
I mean, that's the best way to classify it.
This isn't an Instagram-worthy
John Henry move.
Yeah, okay, I would rule nothing out with him, but that admittedly makes me feel better. Yeah,
yeah. So how many guys do you think, if Sonny Gray is going to be paid $21 million by the Red Sox, how many new players will make more than that on the team next year?
I think two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the
okay.
guys are so going to get in this offseason, you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to get a bat and you're still going to get a pitcher. Like, I still think that. And now, you know, you're hearing about relief pitchers. I do think, to come back to what we can learn from this move, is that this is clearly a, hey, 2026 is an important year. We have to keep moving forward, because as much as we say, oh, well, Richard Fitz, Brandon Clark, listen, the guy who was just traded for Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark might not have made this trade because he liked Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark too much. There is that element of prospect hugging in baseball which drives everybody crazy. And we know what Richard Fitz is, but Brandon Clark is, he's the ultimate guy where you look at and say, oh yeah, look at, he's throwing almost 100. He was a fifth round pick, but he came out of spring training like gangbusters. He started the year like gangbusters. And we're just going to ignore that he had over 5 ERA in Greenville and couldn't throw strikes because he's still a work in progress, which might be true. But that's no reason to hang on to him when you can get a guy that actually can help you for 2026.
I'm curious, the reported interest, and this came out this morning from Ken Rosenthal, the reported Red Sox interest in JT Realmuto. And is that going to be one of their big targets this offseason? That also feels underwhelming.
I don't know if it's underwhelming, but it's odd. It's just, I know that they want that bat. They like the leadership. Realmuto is still a really, really good catcher, but you're sitting there with Carlos Narvaez as, you know, a really, really good catcher as well, who's a lot younger. So if you're going to allocate resources to Realmuto, that one just seemed odd. Now, we all know that, you know, this time of year, if someone expresses interest, it becomes a big deal. And we just have to figure out the level of interest it is. We saw the same thing at the GM meetings with the relievers, with the Devin Williams of the world. Well, are they actually making this a priority or aren't they? Hey, they might trade for real, or I'm sorry, sign Realmuto tomorrow, and we're all diving into this. Why did they do this? But why we're trying to figure out that report and why they would do this, that's a much, much tougher one for me, certainly, than why they might go after the end of the bullpen type of guy.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Check out his work, weei.com. Listen to him on Baseball Isn't Boring. I'm sure Sonny Gray will be on there in no time. And you can follow him on Twitter at Bradfo as well. Rob Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Guys, thank you so much. Have
thank
a great
you.
Thanksgiving.
You too.
We didn't want to make Enjoy Rob yourself. Wait there. I know.
Got right to him.
We wanted to get right to him, not beat around the bush whatsoever. Real quick, I want to go to Justin in D.C., waiting patiently. Right. Justin, your subject line says, Red Sox offseason already a failure. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, man, I am so pissed. And then listening to Bradfo, who told us all year that the Red Sox were going to be big buyers at the trade deadline, and have him come out and say that they're going to make another move for a number two pitcher, I just hear all the BS propaganda, and it really pisses me off. The Red Sox right now with this great trader at $230 million spending CBT-wise, the bracket is going to be $244, and they spent $246 last year. So I'm a rational human being. I know that this ownership group doesn't spend. I would be thrilled if they spent $20 million more than they did last season on this team this offseason. And if they go and do that, that means they have $40 million to spend on two big bats, a number two pitcher, and two bullpen arms after this trade. We can't look at this trade in a vacuum. Sonny Gray is closer to a number four than he is a number two. This is Craig Breslow saying, I can't get a number two, so we're going to put lipstick on this pig that is so old it's about to retire, and then we're going to have to fill in everything else. I think they're going to miss the playoffs if this is their number two, Rich and Keith.
Ooh, Keith. Me twice.
Yeah.
Oink, oink. Well, he was fired up, yeah, and he tried to land the play in there. That's fine.
I'm worried about some of the things he's worried about.
You can be, and I love the passion, but like that sounds like Ryan has already been traded, Alonso signed somewhere else, Bregman left. That's what that sounds like, which could happen, but none of it has. There hasn't really been any real big moves to speak of. This is one of the biggest moves so far in the baseball offseason. And Sonny Gray, we're comparing to Giolito, but Walker Buehler is a good one too. They signed Walker Buehler last year. I was an idiot. I was like, oh, that's a good signing. He might be pretty good. He was trash, but it was that type of money.
I liked it too, yeah.
So like maybe Sonny Gray will be bad, but maybe he'll be good. They've taken on a bunch of pitchers, and they've given them decent money. Some of them just a rehab, like James Paxton, Patrick Sandoval is the most recent one. So they've had some veteran-type guys. I think this is similar to Chapman in a way where when it's the first move, it's the one that's going to get picked apart.
It stands
out. Is this what the offseason is going to be? Because the time that they signed Chapman, we didn't even know he was going to be the closer. We thought Liam Hendricks was coming back. So we're like, is Chapman a setup guy? That's a lot of money for a setup guy.
Oh, I think we were
and then
like,
he ended up being nails.
We had the best season of his career. But I was like, there's no way he's the closer. He's definitely a setup guy.
Wrong. So I like Sonny Gray. I will feel the way Justin feels if they miss out on Alonzo, Bregman, Joe Ryan, et cetera. If that's the only guy you get, yeah, that'd be like last year. If you only got Walker Buehler and you didn't get Crochet or Bregman, then you'd have had every right to freak out.
Here's the thing. Sonny Gray makes them better. They're better today than they were a day ago by adding Sonny Gray. He's an upgrade on Lucas Giolito. Yeah. Like, all that's fine. If the Sonny Gray addition, Bradfo disagrees with Justin in D.C.
He does.
No offense, Justin. I'm going to side with Bradfo on this. If this prevents them from other signings, which I think is a realistic fear, and this is some of their significant payroll they're going to add, then I look at the trade differently. But if it's just a Walker Buehler type signing, 1 year, 20-ish million, and they're going to go out and bring in a bat and add another starter or bring in a couple of bats, well, then fine. I'll look at this a lot differently and much more favorably. 617-779-7937. More your phone calls on this. We've been talking about it for most of the day. At some point, we're going to have to update those dog tiers. People are waiting, Keith, for the dog breeds. That may have to be an off-air thing with
an
all the breaking news today.
Dog breed tier?
Might have to do
fine.
That. Meanwhile, we got the madness. Kiefer Madness on the way next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Hello, Shime.
Hi, Greg.
Skeleton crew on the day before Thanksgiving. Is anyone working today?
No. Nowhere. Nobody's working.
I just mean in general. Like, are people... I actually was checking the Twitch chat out before the program began, and there are more in it than I thought at this time of the morning. So maybe there are people who actually have to go to work today or work from home today, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's just our show.
Yeah, or maybe they're just throwing us on while they're prepping the turkey.
I appreciate that.
That's very nice.
By the way, does Ken have you playing the Patriots Friday production all morning long?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Oof. We're going to completely throw off, like, somebody who's half awake trying to get to work is going to hear Friday and freak out and think that it's a Friday and not a Wednesday.
Yeah, I got a text from Ken yesterday afternoon say, hey, reminder, all Patriots Friday related imaging and clock and all that tomorrow. Well, and I said, why
doesn't he change it to Patriots Wednesday or Patriots Day before Thanksgiving or Patriots Friday on a
Greg,
Wednesday?
Greg, I'm simply a foot soldier. I just do what I'm told.
Shime, I appreciate that. By the way,
he should add Greg to those text messages, don't you think?
It would be nice, but I really don't need more on my plate. Thanksgiving analogy there. Fancy new Patriots windbreaker that you are wearing this morning.
Thank you very much. Big shout out to Coach Vrabel and Stacey James over at the Patriots for supplying us all with a wonderful, beautiful nor'easter windbreaker.
Nor'easters,
thing is comfy as hell.
Nor'easters are legit. Yeah. They outdid themselves with that. I don't know who gets the credit for it, but they outdid themselves.
And it works out great because I already had a pair, not to brag, but I had a pair of UNC Jordan 5s that match really well with this. So it was a
show them.
Wonderful
you were wearing them right now. Show them.
Bam.
Yeah, I noticed them first thing this morning.
I appreciate you, Courtney.
Very difficult for him to get his feet up.
It's just a weird chair.
All right. Well,
don't make me get on the floor.
We're without Wiggy and without Curtis. Wiggy was there last night as the UMass Minutemen finished up the season with an 0-12 record. So it's not a jinx on him. It's just what that football team is. But we will We will soldier on without those guys today. I think we're getting – are we getting a lead from Real Life Tom?
We sure are. He's okay. Queued up and ready to go.
All right. Leads coming up in just a little bit. Rob Ninkovich will be here this morning, and I assume that he will arrive early, although it is getaway day, and every single human being in the six-state New England area is traveling somewhere today. So we'll see what time Rob Ninkovich arrives, but – we got a lot to get to on this morning's show, including a trade that the Boston Red Sox made yesterday. And I don't know where the room is on this. I'm glad they're making moves. I hope it's not the only move that they make.
A vet all-star, like, to back up Garrett Crochet? Like, yeah, that's what you wanted, right? We've been calling for that.
It's not really – I don't think he really counts as a number two. Like, I mean, I think, yeah.
They're selling him as one.
Are they though? Yes. Like who is selling them as well?
I mean, if you look at what any of the baseball writers are writing about, they're all saying the same thing. Like, you know, the fans, media have been asking for more help when it comes to pitching, and this is a guy that can do that. So,
well, he can pitch, but he's not a legit number two. I mean, it's not the expectation that I had for a number two.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, he might have been a legit number two. I don't think right now he is. I'm hopeful that this is the beginning of multiple moves. Clearly, the Red Sox want to make moves that are affordable, which I understand. This is pretty affordable in the trade. You get $21 million coming back, so that's going to take out half of his payroll. Right there, which is nice for them. It's basically the exact same amount of money you would have been paying Lucas Giolito. So it's kind of that replacement to me. And then if you still go out and get Joe Ryan, who is affordable and under control, then it's like, okay, they went the affordable route but still acquired a ton of talent.
100. But do you really believe that they're going to now go out and get Joe Ryan, or is this just a surrogate? Like, is this just, we did something, we made a move, and we address the pitching situation, and we're done there. If they're going to – when you compare him to Giolito, and, I'm fine with that because I feel like Giolito was on the down, and when it comes to Sonny Gray, I feel like he's on the – maybe is on the up, but it's not – from my perspective, it's not a legit number two. And so that's my question about the Red Sox and what they're doing.
I think the beauty of trading for a guy like Joe Ryan is they don't have to give up a ton of money, and that's the big thing, right? Is clearly we know John Henry is not in the mode of spending that he was in years past. And so if you go out and trade for Joe Ryan, it's more so just prospects, which you didn't really trade for Sonny Gray. You traded Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark. Like, you didn't trade anything for Sonny Gray.
Brandon Clark was a really good prospect in your organization, like a number five prospect.
Yeah.
So, yes, you did. Dick Fitz, yeah, whatever. I'm fine with that, but...
But it's not like you gave up Peyton Tolley or Carly Early, who have already cracked, or Christian Campbell, or any of your young, or Marcelo Meyer, any of those guys.
Correct, but that's what you're going to have to give up to get a legit number two.
And they're not going to. Like, this is going to be the guy.
That becomes my concern, is are they one and done with that, and feel like they have satiated the fans.
But I don't think they have. Like, and I think it makes all the sense in the world if you're trading for another controllable, inexpensive pitcher, and then you pay for a bat. Like, that's a great offseason. And I think that's kind of the route they're trying to go, is these two pitching options, if they're able to make a trade for a guy like Joe Ryan, are affordable, easy pitching options for them. They don't have to invest a ton of money, and then they can get a bat like Pete Alonso to put in the lineup.
Let me check the Subaru of New England text line, which is open and doing business all day long here at this radio station. And a 774 texter says Sonny Gray is a 3 on a good day and most likely a 4 on every other day. Here's a text from New Hampshire. Good morning and hello, New Hampshire. He's a number 4 at best. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's upside to him, so I'm okay with that part of it. I just don't think that if you're Craig Breslow and you have acknowledged the need that the baseball team has for a legit number two, you can't try and sell Sonny Gray as a legit number two.
That's what they're doing, though. That's what I'm trying to say. And if you look over at the Twitch line, a lot of people are agreeing.
Are agreeing what?
that they are billing him as the number two, and that
who is though
the Red Sox? Like
that's not what you said.
Well, the media, baseball writers.
I was reading a lot about him yesterday, and that's how they're built.
Yeah. I don't know why we're arguing about it.
Because you went back to it. That's why I'm just trying to figure out why you went back to it.
Brought up that there are texters that are saying he's three at best,
which is what I started off the show by saying. He is a number three. He's not anywhere near a number two in my mind.
Right, and I'm giving my perspective that I don't think the Red Sox are going to do anything else. I think that they are going to bill him as the number two, and I wouldn't get my hopes up that you're going to get a legit number two moving forward.
Yeah, well, I would hope at some point that they understand that they need to continue to add there. And so we will talk about that. All morning long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. This is Mike from Florida. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you, all of you guys. I hope you have a great one. I just wanted to call in and explain the swamp cabbage thing because you guys were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead. It's been weighing heavily on our minds, but yes, go ahead.
So I actually have a friend that doesn't really have family locally, so he comes to our house on Thanksgiving and he brings swamp cabbage. It's delicious. The best way I can describe it is, you know, Florida's a really big state. So I would describe it as, like, you have New England, right? But the swamp cabbage is to South Florida what bar pizza is to the South Shore. So if you go outside of the South Shore, nobody really knows much about bar pizza. So like if you're anywhere north of like Orlando, like nobody even talks about it. But in South Florida, swamp cabbage is awesome. And it comes from the heart of the palm, of the cabbage palm, which is like one of the only indigenous palms to Florida.
Yeah, thank you. Where's Curtis Scheim when we need him? Like, yesterday he was
on a plane.
He was doing that loud laugh thing that he does in the background when I brought up swamp cabbage.
And
here is an actual Florida, not like the rest of us, resident who is confirming that swamp cabbage is an absolute go-to on Thanksgiving.
Well, so I would just push back a little bit by saying, isn't Pop Douglas a South Florida guy? I don't think he's a panhandle guy.
I don't know enough about Florida. I don't know what's East Coast or West Coast or anything like that. I never know. But listen,
he's a Jacksonville guy, so it's a little bit more north. All right, never mind.
How did the green bean casserole debate end on the social medias yesterday?
I think people want it retired. I think that's the...
That's sad.
It really is. It's unfortunate.
It's depressing.
I mean, what are they going to come for next? Mashed potatoes?
They better not.
No, because that's actually
good. They can come for mine.
If we allow them to come for the green bean salad, then who knows what they're going to come for next.
Green bean casserole is so good. Like, I don't understand why people don't like this. It's just green beans, which are delicious,
correct,
with like cream of mushroom soup, which, as Wiggy will tell you, is delicious.
As much as possible.
Yep.
On the soup side of things.
And then crispy fried onions on the top.
Right. Maybe throw a little cheese in there.
Yeah, exactly.
If
boom.
You don't have to sell me on a chime. You do not have to sell me on it.
I don't get it.
All right.
So good.
On the show this morning, we are going to get to our leads in about 10 minutes, and that includes one from Real Life Tom. And then they said it coming up at 7:20, and we will hear what Brezbot said about the Sonny Gray trade, among other things, at 7:20 on this morning show. The news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And as I mentioned earlier, Rob Ninkovich in the studio to talk Patriots and NFL and everything else. And I am guessing that he will be here at around 8 this morning as the New England Patriots get ready for the Giants and Monday Night Football. And if you'd like to join in the discussion at any point this morning, call 617-779-7937. Same number to text on the Subaru of New England text line. And also a reminder that you can leave a pre-Thanksgiving Hill note on the Odyssey app anytime this morning, and we will play the best ones back coming up at 9:20 or 9:30. So Hill notes coming up on this morning's show, and very simple to leave one on the Odyssey app. You will see a microphone when you get to the app, and you can talk to your heart's content by simply pressing the microphone. So that is all coming up right now. Here is Courtney with what is trending this first hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox news that we've already talked about this morning. Veteran righty and three-time All-Star Sonny Gray was added to the Red Sox in a trade with the St. Louis Cardinals. In exchange, Boston sent right-hander Richard Fitz and lefty prospect Brandon Clark. The Bruins and Celtics are both in action tonight. The Bees have the Islanders on the road. Puck drop is at 7, while the Seas are before that. They have the Pistons at the Garden. Tip is at 5. And getting you ready for Thanksgiving, we have Packers and Lions at 1, Chiefs and Cowboys at 4:30, and Bengals-Ravens at 8:20. Now, Travion Merrick, the Carolina nut puncher, was suspended one game without pay after their loss to the Niners when he hit Juwan Jennings in the Family Jewels.
Is that his official nickname?
I think so, moving forward.
The Carolina nut puncher?
Yeah, okay. Like the California butt sniffer.
Correct. Right.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good job.
So I guess there is some merit there when it comes to the debate on what is worse, nut punching or spitting.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Both one-game suspensions.
Yep.
Interesting.
Let your love give back during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event. Get a new Subaru during the Share the Love event, and your Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got our leads.
Are you ready for some Turkey King?
Oh, yeah, I am ready. I
gobble,
like turkey.
Gobble.
I'm a turkey guy, turkey fan over here.
You know?
Sign me up for some nice dark meat turkey.
Too many people are out on turkey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the hip thing. It's like, oh, Dane Cook's not funny. Limp Bizkit doesn't have a bunch of heaters. I don't like turkey.
Oh, I
wrong!
Hate. Oh, I hate 311.
Well,
we're all
agreement
on that. I think
have a couple good ones. I'll give them a few spins. I'll be honest. Yeah, it's like the in vogue thing. Like, oh, I have ham now. It's like, right. It's Thanksgiving. Have a turkey. Live
a turkey.
A little.
Yeah. Oh, it's too dry. Try some dark meat.
It's too dry. Then you're not cooking it right.
Put some gravy on it.
Yeah, dump a lot of gravy on it. The dark meat's never dry. Only wet.
I'm going to...
No, that's not... Maybe. If a turkey's that good.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. But no, I like... Who doesn't love Thanksgiving? Tis the season.
I enjoy it. Now, yeah. Greg seemed a little worried about traffic. People are worried about traffic already.
I flew in today.
Same.
Everyone's like hibernating right now. There's nobody
there. Let me tell you, if the attendance in this office
that's just
is any indication, I understand why I flew in.
Greg and Shime are the only ones left in the morning.
It was a
ghost town in this very room.
On the air.
That's it. No, yeah, they were gone.
Ghost town in morning drive.
Wiggy was never here.
Where's everybody at?
Courtney comes by, very nice of her, on her way out. She's like, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I'm like, oh, it must be 9:55. It was like 9:40.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
No, it was 9:28.
Well, it was 9:28.
And to her credit, at least she was here.
That's true. No, she was here.
Empty Tom came down. Real life Tom came
down. Real life Tom. College Tom. He'll always be college Tom to me.
He's like, you want to come down and do the crossover with Greg? He's like, no one's left.
And by crossover, I mean the last segment.
he's like, no one's here.
Yeah.
The whole show's gone.
I told him about the Jackson 5. I told him about some of the contributions he's made to the show. He seemed like a proud papa.
We got some late night Jackson texts that I am ready to
bracing for
where Jackson 5 goes today.
That'd be good. No, I'm looking forward to that.
But a Thanksgiving edition. Thanksgiving Eve.
We think.
Edition of Jones and Keefe. We think what?
We think it's Thanksgiving related. We'll see.
Yeah.
Jackson could kind of go any which way but loose with
Look,
it.
Look, we gave the man carte blanche. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to be a Jackson 5 for you. At 1 o'clock. Keith, I don't even know if you can handle how jam-packed this show is.
It's like a stuffed turkey.
Now, we have been telling you for a while, the new season of Traitors is out. Keith has wanted to apply to the show Traitors.
I desperately want to be on this show.
So Keith will apply today.
Yes, I've always wanted to be a reality TV star. I auditioned for The Real World in 2006. Didn't get it.
Sick brag, bro.
Didn't get it. Got a call back from MTV, though. That's not
call
nothing.
Back.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah, it's probably like some intern who called like a million different people, but I did get a call from MTV.
I bet they didn't call everybody. You think they called every single person?
Probably not.
I bet not.
I answered the phone. I was like, hello. They're like, hello, this is MTV. They're like, you have not made it.
I was like, ah, damn.
Oh, that's what they did in the callback?
No, no, no. They were like, oh, we're doing something different. They're like, you got to submit this other thing. But, like, we saw your first application.
You got waitlisted.
Basically. Wait, waitlisted.
Yeah, I understand how that goes.
I did not get in.
I applied to colleges. Yeah. I know how that goes. They're like, we like your stuff.
Sick brag, bro.
We like your stuff. Yeah. You didn't get in, but we like what you're working with
over
there.
Awful thin envelope to say that I've been accepted to the school.
That was a nightmare. But anyway, yeah, so there's that because I wanted to be on the Real World. I wanted to be on the challenge. That ship has sailed. I'm now in my 40s. But this Trader show is right up my alley. This is a whodunit. You have a bunch of people that are the quote-unquote traitors. They're the killers. Then you have a bunch of the faithful. They live in a giant castle in Scotland. Alan Cumming's the host. It's a legitimately great show. I don't know what the next season's going to be like. That's the one with Travis Kelce's mom. It's all like pseudo-celebrities.
Yeah.
But now they're opening it up to a normies. They're like, hey, we just want non-celebrities.
So you're going
to be... Which is where I come into play.
You're going to be in the normie season.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Well,
so I got to apply.
The application is coming your way today. Yep. We will also be getting to some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday. That's at 11:30. We have the hashtag Dork Minute, 11:45. Pure Hoops with Terp today.
Oh, that's right.
High noon. Early Celtics game. 5 o'clock.
That's a big
Thanksgiving
tilt.
Eve.
Are you sure Terp's going to be here at noon? He's not going to be over there at the Garden?
Well, he may have to leave early. We'll see. But that's at high noon and a Kiefer Madness for you today as well. Plus, as we mentioned, Jackson 5. So a loaded, loaded show for you today. You can jump in line 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there, subscribe to WEEI. You heard Craig Breslow off the top there, Keith, discussing the Sonny Gray trade.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, he used a bunch of terms in there, buying in on...
he always uses really long words.
He does, but some of the stuff I can wrap my head around, back-to-back 200 strikeout seasons, things like that.
Speaking my language.
We've had interest in him going back. I think you'll hear in a later answer, they had some discussions, it sounds like, at the trade deadline. Never mind, early on in the offseason, this was a player they identified. However, with Sonny Gray in the mix, and I think you said yesterday, and a lot of people, I think, have come out and kind of wrapped their heads around it this way. I think you were early on this.
Thank you.
He's a Giolito upgrade. He's not their number two. And if he is the number two starter, that's going to be a problem. He's slotted in, hopefully, behind Brian Baio. And as a Giolito replacement, they, I would think, would be looking bigger than that in the rotation. Joe Ryan should still be in play, not Joe Nathan.
No.
Among other trades out there, whether it's Mackenzie Gore,
Scoobal
would be super high-end,
no,
obviously.
I think it's all
Hunter Green, names like this.
Okay? I think it's a combination. I think it's Giolito's spot in the rotation, but it's Walker Buehler's spot in free agency a year ago.
It's his money.
Yeah, it's his money.
Walker Buehler's money.
Yeah. And so when they signed Walker Buehler last year, he was a part of a much bigger offseason. You know, they brought in Bregman and Crochet. Then they gave Crochet the big extension. So they traded a really good prospect in order to get Garrett Crochet. Then they signed him to a big extension. They gave Alex Bregman a lot of average annual money. They gave Aroldis Chapman decent closer money or setup man money at the time. We didn't know if he was going to even be the closer. But then also in there was a decent contract to Walker Buehler. And I was like, all right, he can be your number two or number three. And he wasn't. Like, so... he better not be Walker Buehler on the field. But I'm just saying, like, what they did last year in free agency, it could play out the same way. So if you last year did the order differently, say they signed Bregman first, traded for Crochet, then got Chapman, then got Walker Buehler, nobody'd be like, Walker Buehler, right? So, like, same with this. Like, if this free agency or this offseason goes differently, and then we look back and we're like, oh, Sonny Gray's the fourth best player they added?
Look, the order really matters, but it's under a microscope now.
Yeah, of course.
My fear all along has been, do they view him as a number two starter? And if he is their number two starter, what does that mean? Now, Breslow was asked this specifically on his Zoom call last night, breaking down the trade.
I think this is a good answer.
You do?
I do. Well, play it.
Let's play.
I think it's good.
Here it is.
I don't know how much sense it makes in November to put a number on a guy. I think Sonny is a very talented major league pitcher. You know, the seasons that he's put up pretty consistently indicate that to be the case. That said, you know, we still intend to improve our team, and exactly what that looks like, we don't know right now, but we'll continue to explore opportunities and figure out where that takes us.
Okay, you like that.
Yeah, I do. So he
was it a week or two ago, said they want a co-ace with Crochet or like a number two.
Do you want the exact quote? I have the exact quote.
Sure.
Starting pitching, in particular, someone we feel like we could start alongside or slot in behind Garrett Crochet to start a playoff game for us. Because the depth we built over the last couple of years, we feel pretty good about starting pitchers number 3 through 10.
Uh-huh.
That's not to take away from the guys who are currently here. It's just to say I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time trying to add a number 4 or 5 starter. If we're going to make a starting pitching addition, it should be somebody who can pitch on the front of the rotation and start a playoff game for us. So he kind of already had assigned numbers to pitchers. Now he's like, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to assign numbers.
Because he doesn't view him as a number two. He's not saying he's that guy.
But he said earlier this offseason, we shouldn't add a number 4 or 5.
No. He just said we're not going to like waste our time. But, it's before Thanksgiving you made this move. You still have a long time to go. This might have fell into place. You're talking to Heim Bloom. He kind of knows the system probably pretty well. You go through, and you're like, all right, we'll take this guy. They're trying to salary dump in St. Louis. They're going full Heim Bloom makeover. They just want to get a bunch of young prospects probably. But it makes no sense for him. When he knows that he's not a co-ace, he knows that. He's not even a number two starter probably anymore. A couple years ago he was, but he's getting older.
Yeah, he was an all-star in 2023.
He was a Cy Young candidate 2 years ago with Minnesota, but he probably isn't that anymore. But you just brought the guy in. It makes zero sense to just say no. Like, hey, is he your number two starter? No, he isn't. Because you're just ripping the guy for no reason.
Okay, well, I don't disagree with that.
But he also didn't say he is. So that makes me feel like, good, that means that you're going to still try to get somebody that is.
But he didn't. The comment he made earlier is coming back to bite him, though, when he's like, we don't need to add pitchers 3 through 10. We need a guy who can start alongside Garrett Crochet, and then you add this guy.
Yeah, but I think they kind of did need to add pitchers 3 through 10 a little bit because...
Okay, but that's not what he said.
No,
I mean, if you disagree with that, that's fine. But what he said is, we don't need that. We're not going to waste our time on a 4 or 5. And they added a 4 or 5.
I just think the older comment
is coming back to bite him with that comment right there.
Right, but I guess he could have just said, like, yeah, he is the number 2 guy. But he knows that he's not, so he won't lie about that. But he's also not going to rip the player that he just acquired.
You have no concerns he's the number two starter? And is that a technicality because Bayo's the number two starter?
No. I mean, I know what you mean. Like, I think they're both... Now, most pitchers in the league are a giant step below Garrett Crochet. So there is already that. I think Sonny Gray could have a really good season. Like, Giolito honestly had a really good season last year. It was the first time he was pretty much able to stay healthy. I know he got hurt at the end, but he had a good season. I think he could probably duplicate that. Remember, there was a stretch there where we were looking at it and saying, Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito were 3 of the 10 best American League starters for months.
By ERA, they were. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Sonny Gray can do that, but I still think they're going to get somebody else. Or at the very least, I think they're going to really pursue it. I don't think they're going to say, all right, all set, guys, we got our pitcher.
Okay, so
that'd be like last year stopping at Walker Buehler.
I would be 100% on board with that. That would be great. Like, in a vacuum, I like the Sonny Gray addition. But what does it mean? Are they going to still spend and add pitching? Are they going to add a bat? Can they add both? Because I think they still need both. They need a pitcher better than Sonny Gray, and they still need bats. If they do all that, I'm going to love the Sonny Gray trade.
Yeah.
If this is a way to cheap out on paying another starter or to cut corners on the bat you're eventually going to spend on, then I don't like it as much. So I agree. We don't know the complete picture yet. But to me... they need to add another pitcher and still a bat.
But does this also allow you to...
Or two more big signings. Let me rephrase. It could be two bats with Sonny Gray, and I'd get on board with it.
Okay.
It could be a pitcher and a bat, and I'd get on board with it.
Yeah.
I like the move in a vacuum, but a lot more work needs to be done. They can't, dust their hands and be like, we have a number two starter.
No, I don't think they are. Otherwise, I think he would have answered those questions a little bit different yesterday. You could have pointed to, like, hey, last time he was in the American League, he was a runner-up in the Cy Young.
He was.
200 strikeouts each of the last 2 years. We think his stuff, this, that, and the other thing. Like, he could have talked it up that way, but he's not. And that's why I think that they're not done. I think it also allows for somebody like Mackenzie Gore or somebody else that maybe doesn't have the full track record, but they feel like there's a big upside. And it's like, all right, we have a pretty high floor guy in Sonny Gray. Like, we're pretty safe with
Gray. We can take a shot on Mackenzie Gore.
Take a shot there. Well, look, your rotation looks pretty dangerous.
And I would feel a lot better about Mackenzie Gore, who I was nervous about if that was the only pitching move they made, like a ball of clay, high upside guy. Mm-hmm. But now you're right. You have a high floor guy. You have him. You take a shot on Gore. If it doesn't work, you're protected because of Sonny Gray. That kind of move I could definitely get behind. Now, here's the issue. Number one, Sonny Gray, the last time he was in the AL East pitching for the Yankees in a big market, it went horribly. We talked about this yesterday. He was a trade deadline acquisition for the Yankees. His only full year with New York, his ERA approached 5. He's also been terrible at Fenway. I think he's made, off the top of my head, it was 6 starts and 7 appearances, or 7 starts. His ERA was in the 6s.
7!
So, like,
okay,
I don't love what those things point to. However,
yeah, that's tough.
Honestly, in the American League, he's been a pretty good pitcher. He was good in Oakland. He was good in Minnesota. It was bad in New York, but it's not like, and this has changed anyway with the universal DH, but it's not like he was just a guy who succeeded in the NL, and right, he hasn't had any success in the American League. He has had it. And I think he's a guy who definitely punches people out. I think he's a guy who you can feel pretty good knowing what you're going to get. I don't think there's a lot of upside there. He's 36. Injury's always, I guess, something that you have to factor in. But he gives you innings. He punches people out. And I think if you're looking at him as a 3 or a 4, you know, not your number 2,
yeah,
I think that's a really good add.
4.15 career ERA versus the Yankees, 2.91 career ERA versus the Blue Jays. Now, I know it's a lot of different guys and things like that, but still, just talking about like AL East competition.
That's proof it can work in the AL East.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Chris Cotillo had a couple of items here that I don't love to read.
Oh, no.
He said it's November 25th.
Wow, so this was terrible.
This was yesterday.
That's the first bad sign.
It's now November 26th.
Yeah, true.
There's a ton of winter left. The market has barely moved. With that said, early indications from sources, Red Sox are shifting their attention to an impact bat at this juncture while not ruling out further pitching additions as the offseason continues. He followed up with, the early sense is adding Sonny Gray makes the Red Sox less likely to pursue another big-name starting pitcher, with their focus being on adding a bat to the lineup. Well, so it's not ruled out,
okay,
but it is less likely. This is from talking to people around the league. They're honed in on a bat. Based on earlier reporting from Morosi and others, my guess is that bat is Alonso or Bregman, not both. And they're less likely, not out, but less likely to add another starting pitcher. If it's one bat, Keith, pick it. Alonso or Bregman with Sonny Gray, is that enough?
It feels like, to me, it does feel like an upgrade over last year, but it's still a letdown. To me, I'll take Alonso's bat over Bregman's bat, and I'll take Sonny Gray's arm over either Buehler or Giolito's arm. So I'd be like, that's an upgrade over last year's team, but there's so much more room because we were kind of sold a bill of goods that, hey, you got rid of Devers, you got rid of his entire contract, you can then be more aggressive. John Henry could still be under whatever the number he probably set in his mind because he had all this money committed. So it'd be underwhelming, but I could also spin it as the team got slightly better.
But here's where I think the Devers people really have a point.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not just, well, you've upgraded on Buehler or Giolito, and Alonzo's an upgrade on Bregman. This is where you have to replace Devers.
Oh, you lost Devers and Bregman?
Harrison Hicks. They both suck.
I mean, that was bad. But like for Alonso, as much as I like the polar bear, if you're like, you have just him, and you got rid of 2 third basemen? Like, what is that? And now you got Marcelo Meyer probably playing out of position at third, and he's unfortunately probably going to get hurt again. So, yeah, that it would be very underwhelming, but I like each individual player, if that makes sense.
No, me too. I mean, if they sign Alonso, I like Alonso. Yeah. If they bring back Bregman, I really like that. The Gray move on its own, I don't care they gave up a guy who used to be the number 5 prospect in the system who's lost a bunch of steam. Good. I'd rather have the big league player than the dumb prospect.
If it's just Bregman, there's something about it where
it's the same team.
No, it's like worse because you're probably going to flip Duran because the outfield's crowded. So you don't even have Duran, who's obviously been up and down. But it's just the same lineup post-Devers trade? What? Yeah. Like, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. And so if you're asking me, Sonny Gray in a bat, Alonso or Bregman, are they still a playoff team? Yeah, they should still make the playoffs.
Probably. You got Crochet.
But the goal this offseason wasn't to just run it back and do what you did last year. Last year, just making the playoffs was acceptable. That made last year a successful year.
No.
This year, the goal should be higher.
Definitely. And that is Blue Jays were in the World Series.
Win a round. Make an ALCS. Get to a World Series. Win a World Series. Like, if you approach the offseason the right way, I think those are realistic goals. The goal should not be to run it back and just barely sneak into the playoffs and lose on wild card weekend or lose in the wild card round. That's not what anybody wants. 617-779-7937. What is the plan for the Red Sox now? Where will Sonny Gray ultimately slide into this rotation? Closer to Garrett Crochet or closer to the back end of the rotation? Again, you can jump in on the phones at 617-779-7937. Keith is going to apply to traders today.
Yes, help me get there.
We've been talking about it for a while.
Come on, folks.
Just missed on the real world.
So close.
So traders is in play. Would you rather Wednesday at 11:30, hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45, Pure Hoops at high noon, Kiefer Madness at 12:45, and the Jackson 5 at 1 o'clock.
And a Bozo parlay.
And for the Thanksgiving games. Bozo touchdown parlay in the grab bag today as well. So stay tuned for all of it. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending. We'll get into who won the Sonny Gray trade and the grades that are coming in on that trade right after the update.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins are back in action tonight. First up, the Seas will host the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are currently on a 13-game winning streak. This game is a group stage matchup in the NBA Cup tournament. Tip-off at the TD Garden is at 5 o'clock. Next, the Bees are in New York to take on the Islanders. Puck drop at the UBS Arena is at 7 o'clock. New England Patriots return to the practice field today at 1:50 to begin preparations for Monday night football matchup against the New York Giants at Gillette Stadium. Tomorrow's slate of Thanksgiving Day games can be heard right here on 93.7. Westwood One's pregame coverage begins at 12:30. The Green Bay Packers are in Detroit to play the Lions. That game kicks off at 1 o'clock, followed by the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Kansas City Chiefs at 4:30. And to close out the night, the Cincinnati Bengals will be in Baltimore to play the Ravens with a kickoff time of 8:20. And this afternoon, Boston College basketball hosts Harvard. You can hear the call of that game on WEEI AM 850. Pregame will begin at 3:45, and tip-off from Conti Forum is at 4 o'clock. At the 99 Restaurants, the $14.99 Big Deal Meals start the week off right. Satisfy big appetites every Monday through Wednesday. Try the roasted turkey dinner smothered with rich gravy. For big deal meals and a great time, you gotta love the Nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that was Brezbot yesterday after adding Sonny Gray to the rotation. And I guess, Shime, you brought it up earlier, but Heim Bloom and the Cardinals covering $20 million of the salary, and that certainly makes that deal look a lot better.
Yeah, it makes him super affordable.
If you are the Boston Red Sox, it's not I will maintain till I am blue-er in the face or red-er in the face that it is not. That doesn't get the job done if you are the Red Sox and you said you're going to improve your pitching and you're going to add yourself a number two. Now, I'm not an expert on this. This guy is. The great baseball Brett has called the show. Hello, Brett.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving, Brett.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your show.
We've gone back and forth. Is he a three? Is he a four? Is he potentially a two? Where are you this morning on this?
Yeah, he's a 2-3. He's not the two that you want. He's a three, but it's hard to label guys. He is a really, really good pitcher, and he makes your team better. Do I still think they bring in another higher guy? Yeah, with higher upside. But I think in the situation with the Red Sox are in, Greg, they have so many young guys, Peyton Tolley, Conley Early, guys that you really don't know about that don't have a lot of experience in the big leagues. Sonny Gray is a guy that takes the ball for 30 starts, has 200 strikeouts every single year. He is as consistent gets. And I think you have to have a guy like that in your rotation when you have so many other younger guys that are just inexperienced. So I love the trade because I think you didn't give up a lot. I don't like just like what Shime said, you're not paying him a ton. It doesn't limit you with other moves that you can make. And I think he's a tremendously consistent pitcher that makes you better. And that's what I want. I want a winner. And I think he helps get you there. So
Brad,
I still think they're going to make a move.
Text for you. Is it not the fact that a team that's willing to pay $20 million bucks to make a guy go away is a red flag?
No, if you know anything about the Cardinals right now, the reason why Chaim Bloom was brought into that organization, they have an edict from the owner to get rid of payroll. Nolan Arenado's next. They're either going to release Nolan Arenado or they're going to trade him. They were trying all last year to trade that salary. He has another like $30 million on the books for 2 years. They're just trying to get rid of salary. They are stripping it all the way down. And the Red Sox were one of the teams that were just willing to take the salary. And I think that's why they got the trade done.
Brett, do you see that this being the major move that they're going to make, or do you see more coming from the Red Sox?
I think they're going to if you were to ask for my off-season outlook, I still think they get another pitcher. I think that would be the guy from Milwaukee, Freddie Peralta. I think Joe Ryan. I think Coco. I think there's too many eyes on Joe Ryan now. I think that once that trade leaked, right against the deadline, I think now there's like sharks in the water. I think everybody wants to go and get him. I would think Freddie Peralta for 1 year with Milwaukee is he's a number two. He's a really good pitcher. Something like that. I think they bring back Bregman as a bat, and I think they bring in another power bat via trade. But I think it's via trade. So I think Shime hit it on the head earlier when he said like you can allocate so much money at so many spots. I think they're going to trade for a controllable bat.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting, Greg, is if you're going to trade an outfielder, now that's another hole in your lineup. So they better bring back, you know, if they're going to get rid of Jarren Duran, say what you want about Jarren Duran. He's still a really, really good ball player. If you get rid of him, that's another hole that you've just created. So I don't think signing one bat is enough, in my opinion.
Wiggy's off today, but because he's grieving over the 0-12 UMass season. But
it's tough.
if they bring Bregman back, he's going to lose it because he thinks about. But Rosenthal was saying yesterday that he's the better match for the team when it comes to he v Alonso, which I don't know if I agree with or not.
I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. I just know that Bregman wants to come back, and I think that. So I would love, listen, the Red Sox have the ability, Greg, to do whatever they want to do. They have the money, they have prospects, and they have major league ready guys. The Red Sox can literally do whatever they want to do. If they want to sign two bats and make a trade, they can do that. That's the frustrating part as a fan. They can do whatever they want. They're in position financially with prospects. They can do, they're plush with everything. It's just what they want to do. I would bring back Bregman because I think he's a controllable. He's just so good in that clubhouse. He's a good ball player. He's got a lot of baseball left, and he's great with the young kids. And he wants to come back.
Brett, I am thankful for your calls to this radio show. Happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving, Brett.
Bye, Greg. Some, bye, guys. Bye, Coco. Bye, Shy.
Bye, Brett.
Have a great Thanksgiving,
Brett,
guys.
Brett, okay,
guys.
Know, Brett.
Yes, sir.
You really get under the skin of some in the Twitch chat.
Greg, I was calling because I didn't want the Twitchers to have to wait until you're 5K for me to be on the radio.
They get very upset. They say Brett is not an insider. Like, how dare he call a radio show with his opinion? They get butthurt by it. Really very upset.
Yeah, I got a pretty good source. I got a pretty good source that said that Breslow is not signing a free agent until late in the offseason. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Good morning.
All right, there you are. Oh, Brett now has sourcing.
There you go.
He's connected. He is. Yeah.
Stick that in your hat and smoke it, Twitch.
He's pals with a lot of guys.
I don't know how YouTube feels about Brett because I'm not following along with YouTube this morning. I'm only watching Twitch.
I think the YouTube chat's a little seedier than the Twitch chat, so I don't really know.
It's lively. I wouldn't call it seedier. I mean, I certainly appreciate both. And they are different. They're different audiences. That's I will say YouTube dominating the numbers over Twitch of late. I don't know what that's all about. Where is Mitch available?
I don't know if he's connected, but
Mitch, let's go down if we can to the Mituation room.
You got to give him a moment to connect.
What does he have to do? Turn his microphone on, or
he's got to like jump in the Zoom call thing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he was prepared for this or
can't
not.
Can't we like chat GPT Mitch or something like that? Or is there some kind of
Mitch
AI?
Mitch is too special.
Is there an AI solution for this?
I also don't know if he's in the, I assume he's in the Mituation room. I don't really know.
Where would he be? I mean, what is, what else? Yeah, he'd be in the bathroom?
Well.
Probably all that cranberry sauce, I would imagine.
it's got to contain a lot of fiber.
While we wait for Twitch Mitch, let's open the Window World of Boston weather window. Which I hate doing when Curtis is not here because he's the meteorologist. But Shime, if you could, open that puppy up. And what do we got outside?
Well, Greg, it's currently 56 degrees and cloudy here in the city of Boston. The high today is 60. You could see a little bit of showers late this evening, but nothing too crazy. And then it's going to be a beautiful couple of days. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, in the 50s, sunny, a nice day. If you're going to watch some high school football, it's the perfect day for it. It's going to start to cool down a little bit Friday, Saturday, get all the way down into the 30s on Saturday, and then warm back up a little bit with some rain on Sunday.
Okay.
I do want you to have the chance to respond to somebody in the YouTube because TF Sloan says Greg has the Jaylen Brown lineup today. There's some accusations that you're doing Beijing.
I really hate when they say that.
It looks thicker today.
What does?
Your hair.
My hair is the same. Literally, my beard is gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not. You can see gray in my hair.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it back. Yeah, where's the lineup?
There's no movement there. I'm looking.
I appreciate the interest in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compliment. I appreciate it. But there's nothing. There's literally nothing going on here.
I think people are used to you coming in with wet hair a lot in the morning, and your hair is very dry this morning, so it looks fuller.
I never come in with wet hair.
Yeah, sometimes.
I always dry my hair. I shower.
Also, his hair's not long enough to stay wet.
Correct.
It looks
also
damp.
Who wants wet hair in the near winter months because you freeze?
That's how you get sick.
Yeah, correct. So, let's see. X Slayer Bob in the Twitch chat says Greg looks slick. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Monday, we begin our Christmas promotion, QB Under the Tree. So you must listen on Monday morning as we usher in the holiday season with QB Under the Tree and your chance to win. I won't give it away, but there's some really cool QB-related things under our tree here at WEEI.
Yeah.
We are going to get the Hill Notes coming up. Real quick, let me just get Adam from Framingham. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
What's up?
Just real quick on the Sonny Gray thing that I haven't heard mentioned much is it gives them leverage heading into the winter meetings. I think the timing of it was kind of interesting. Like, they're going to go there, and now when they're sitting across from the Twins or the Marlins and they want to discuss some of their young pitchers, they're not sitting there without a real rotation. You know, we have a rotation, right? With Crochet and Bayo and Sonny Gray. And, you know, it adds a little bit of leverage, I think, for the Red Sox. They didn't give up much.
Yeah. No,
I thought it was important to note.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad point at all. I think, they don't look nearly as needy now with Sonny Gray in the rotation.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Courtney into what is trending right now.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Brother USA. Some Red Sox news. They did add veteran righty and three-time All-Star Sonny Gray in a trade with the St. Louis Cardinals. In exchange, Boston sent right-hander Richard Fitz and lefty prospect Brandon Clark. The Bruins and Celtics both in action tonight. The Bees have the Islanders on the road. Puck drop is at 7, while the Seas are before that. They have the Pistons at the Garden. Tip is at 5. Is Sully hooking you up for that game?
No. I'm all business.
Okay.
I got to get ready for the big day.
All right. I love it.
Big day.
Yep. And getting you ready for Thanksgiving when we have Packers and Lions at 1, Chiefs and Cowboys at 4:30, and Bengals Ravens at 8:20. Now, Travion Merrick, the Carolina nut puncher, was suspended one game without pay after their losing to the Niners when he hit Juwan Jennings in the junk. So an unfortunate one-game suspension, not paid for that bad boy. And ready to make holiday shopping easy? With the Brother Gift Guide, you find it, you wrap it, and done. From creative to practical, find all your gifts in one place. Make the holiday shine at brothergiftguide.com. That is brothergiftguide.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got your Hill Notes, and I think I got to go.
What?
I think I got to
go. When are you going? I thought you said 9:30.
But that's in the middle of a segment.
That's okay. You can leave in the middle of the segment.
All right.
We will be right back.
So this answer from Breslow I liked. And you liked his earlier answer, Keith. Hey, we're not going to put a number on this guy. The problem is he already did. But, you know, if you're not rewinding to what he said earlier this offseason, and he could always explain it away and say, well, yeah, I didn't think we needed a 3 through a 10. But this was such a good deal that we said, yeah, let's do the deal. And we're still looking to add a number two. And it can all check out.
I think there's a possibility that maybe Heim Bloom is now running the Cardinals and they're trying to dump their veteran guys with salary and getting prospects. His favorite thing, right? Acquiring prospects. So there's a chance before anybody even called the Cardinals are calling all these teams and being like, hey, like, would you be interested in paying half of Sonny Gray's contract? And, like, what can we work on a deal? And they're like, oh, okay, sure.
Well, I was reading Jesse Rogers at ESPN, Bragg.
Nice.
And he talked to 16 executives throughout the winter. And the Red Sox are linked to some other future players, which I was going to bring up. But he had, who is the top candidate to move this winter not named Tarik Skubal? Okay. Four players had two votes. Sonny Gray was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Joe Ryan, Freddy Peralta, Ketel Marte. So, look, if Ryan and Peralta move and you got Sonny Gray, that's going to stink. If neither of those guys move and Sonny Gray is the one to move, and Skubal should be on that list as well, then, you know, you probably feel better about it. But if those names are flying around and a lot of pitchers move and the best you got was Sonny Gray when a lot of pitchers moved, I would have an issue with that. But I think, to your point, the Cardinals, it was known, were shopping Sonny Gray. And I like what Breslow said there. He said, well, yeah, if I've learned anything in 2 years, when there's a deal there to be had, sometimes you just got to close.
And teams have to like our players.
Yeah, it's not that anymore. And it's not like some of the things that he's been accused of where he's haggling too much or dragging his feet too much or he's circling back and trying to add more to the deal. Keith, let's make it about fantasy football for a minute.
Okay.
Like, the most annoying people to make trades with are the people who you think you have a deal worked out and they try to worm like one extra thing.
Actually, what about that guy,
too? Let's change the terms at the last second. Yeah. It's like, no, I thought we had a deal. We had the framework for a deal.
Right.
I'm ready to go on this trade. I thought you were ready to go on this trade. Stop trying to throw in little bit pieces at the back end of the bench to make yourself feel better that probably won't matter. And I think Breslow has a reputation of that, where he's trying to like tinker with the deal at the last second when it was already agreed upon. And now he's a hard guy to work with.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, got out there, had a deal they liked. All right, Brandon Clark, some people like him. Maybe he's a high-end arm. We have other arms in the system we like better. Two of them were at the major league level in the postseason for us last year in Toley and Early. Maybe my guy Kyle Harrison as well. Probably not. And so, you know, these are some of the arms that they have ahead of him. We have a surplus. Fine. We like Sonny Gray. Let's do the deal. And if he's really learned that lesson, and that's not just lip service, sometimes when the deal's there, you just got to close and have urgency.
Yeah.
I would applaud him for that. I think the jury's out, but that's what he's saying. And the door's open for, okay, when a deal's there to be had, maybe this guy's learned how to close.
And that's why I think one thing that he has done pretty well is the offseason, right? Like, I think where the biggest, you know, criticisms of Craig Breslow have been are trade deadlines. The trade deadlines have been an absolute disaster. And then obviously the Devers trade is very polarizing. Now, the Devers trade to me was more John Henry telling him, much like John Henry told Heim Bloom, you need to trade Mookie Betts. He was told you need to trade Rafael Devers and I don't want to pay a dime to this guy. So that's kind of out of Breslow's control, I think. But you don't want to let him off the hook completely because the return was trash. Hicks couldn't pitch. No, Kyle Harrison might not be able to pitch.
The return is his fault.
Yeah. Just like Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs. Like those are horrible returns.
Correct. The decision to trade Devers goes above him.
Yeah.
And I personally think Devers had a big role in that. I don't just think it was Henry saying, let's get the contract off the books.
Yeah.
I think he was such a clown and such an a-hole and such a bad teammate.
Yeah, no, so you and I agree on that part.
Then they said, okay, get him off the team, and oh, by the way, I don't want to pay him a dollar.
Right. So that part's gone. But off seasons, he's been pretty good. Extending young players that they've wanted to lock up long-term, he's been great at, including Crochet. So, like, that part has been pretty good. And I'm not going to fall for the trap that I did last year where, for a couple weeks, it was like, Aroldis Chapman's all he did in the offseason? Like, Aroldis Chapman, that's the first guy you sign? Like, what's even his role? Like, if you overreact to the first guy, then you're like, oh, you traded for Garrett Crochet and you signed Alex Bregman? Okay, that's pretty good. Like, you brought in three All-Stars last offseason? Pretty great. So, if Sonny Gray is the third, or maybe even in best case scenario, the fourth best player you bring in this offseason, it'd be another smash success.
How realistic is it that he's number three?
I think three is possible. Okay. I think four
is a pipe dream.
Four is kind of out the window, I think.
If they sign two big bats,
Walker Buehler, to just once again hammer that point home, he ended up being the fourth guy they brought in last year.
It's a good point. But if they bring in two bats in addition to Gray, I would be, depending on who they are, if it's Bregman and Alonso with Gray, I love it.
That.
If it's Bregman or Alonso with Joe Ryan, I love that.
What if it's Bo Bichette and Pete Alonso?
Yeah, I mean,
and Sonny Gray. That's your offseason.
I might be able to talk myself into it.
I'll take it.
I'm aiming higher than that. You like Bichette more than I do.
Yeah. He's a hit machine.
But he's going to cost a lot of money, and we'd have to applaud the money they're spending at bare minimum.
True.
617-779-7937. I keep hearing Scooble's name as a possible trade. Why would the Tigers trade him? I'm not saying he's getting traded here.
Because they might not give him $300 million.
They're not going to pay him.
And they have to decide.
Last report? They were $350 million apart.
They're not going to pay him.
Because think about this. The Angels never traded Shohei Ohtani. Pretty dumb. Pretty dumb in hindsight.
Well, the Red Sox did trade Mookie Betts, and that was also pretty dumb.
That was definitely dumb.
So locking up the return is going to matter.
The return's paramount. But
the logic there is the same. We don't want to lose Scooble for nothing. Yeah. We're not paying him. We're miles apart. He's going to market. So it's just going to take a team meeting their asking price, whatever that is.
But there's a chance that you get a massive return, and maybe the guys do hit. I mean, obviously Alex Verdugo, Connor Wong, Jeter Downs didn't hit. But my favorite one, I mean, Heathcliff Slocum for Jason Varitek and Derek Lowe, or Bartolo Colon for Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, and Brandon Phillips. Like, there are crazy deals that happen sometimes, and if the Tigers aren't going to trade them. The other thing is, all these baseball execs, with the exception of Nightingale, all these execs are like, Skeens isn't going anywhere. However, Scooble could be had. So, like, there's a lot of smoke around that.
Passon was like, Skeens, no chance. Yeah. He's like, Hunter Green, not far behind. He's like, Scooble's in play.
Now,
that doesn't mean the Red Sox get him. No. And I'm not telling you the Red Sox get him, but I would guess he moves. Ralph is in Cranston on Sonny Gray. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys, look, we all know if that's your number two pick guy, now pick it. They're no better. You know, they make a lot of mistakes. Trading deadline from 24 on has not been their key. You know, guys, you need a whole new, possibly a whole new infield. I mean, I don't want Bichette because you need a good fielding shortstop. To me, Story either has to see if he can play third or move him over to second. Casas is very important too because he has 35 home run potential. What's he going to do?
But yeah, you know, not hit 35. Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
He's
gonna
get hurt probably.
Yeah. A guy I really thought that they should possibly look at, because you have to trade some outfielders here, is Tyler O'Neill. They let him sign for small money, and when he's healthy, guys, he's a Gold Glove outfielder. Okay. He's a power guy.
All right, so Ralph likes Tristan Casas and
Tyler O'Neill
running back for 2 years.
Bring that squad back.
Would you guys like to guess how many games Tyler O'Neill played last year?
33.
Actually, you're a little low.
43.
Keep going.
73.
Nope. 54 games.
54
games last year.
He probably did more interviews with Bradford last year than played in games.
54 appearances
and he hit
on baseball.
199 in those 54 games.
Yeah. How many dogs though?
Yeah. Well, they had a run. You can go back to Heim Blue. Remember, they would just find like Hunter Renfro, Duvall, Tyler O'Neill. They found a right-handed power stick.
Nine homers though in a third of the year.
Yeah.
Still like 30-ish home run pace. Yeah.
He was in.
Well, if you go by that, he had 9 2 years ago. He had 31 when he was here. He had 9 this year, so he's on pace for 30 next year.
Every other year guy? Well, you know what? Ralph and Cranston on to something. Go get Tyler O'Neill.
Was it one of those Red Sox documentaries that he was in?
Yes.
Where there was
it was the clubhouse where he had the hitting cage in his house?
Yes. And then they're like in his house, and it's just like, I mean, God bless him, but it's like him and his wife like just eat like lettuce and protein shakes. I'm like, that sounds miserable.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like
his wife was like pitching to him in the hitting cage?
Yeah. Intense.
Didn't seem like she loved life.
Well, who's to say?
I mean, you know, the guy
blink twice if you're in trouble. But yeah, it wasn't It wasn't for me. But no, I would probably pass on Tyler O'Neill. That is another part of this that we haven't really talked too much about recently.
The Tyler O'Neill part? We had not.
No.
That is one we had. Credit to Ralph and Cranston. That is one we had not brought
See,
up
I think
in a while,
their defense in the outfield is actually pretty great.
Me too.
You have Rafael and Abreu are both gold glovers, and then you have Roman Anthony, who I think will get better.
Duran had a horrible year defensively.
Yeah.
Was he a finalist 2 years ago?
He stinks in the outfield.
Or did he win it?
No.
Yeah.
Jaron Duran won a gold glove.
Didn't Duran win the gold glove 2 years ago?
Nick's our defensive metrics guy. Yeah, there's no way he won a gold glove.
I think he did.
No. Did One time All-Star, All-Star MVP.
Was he not a runner-up?
What? Well, he shouldn't have been.
I think he was a finalist for the gold glove. Was he not?
I mean, I couldn't really speak to that. I know he does not own a gold glove. He's not been awarded a gold glove.
Hang on. Efforting. But you like their outfield defense.
Yeah, I do. But no, but what I was going to say is what we haven't factored in is...
He's a gold glove finalist in 2024.
Great.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter won a bunch of gold gloves. He was trash
okay,
in the field.
I'm just telling you, their outfield defense in general has been very good.
No, I think it will be really good, so yeah. I'm not worried about that part, but I am curious as to what the return will be for Jaron Duran. Because if you're going to end up trading him, which all signs seem to be pointing towards Duran's being traded, is it just prospects? Is it a pitcher that could also go into your rotation? Is it a part of like a much bigger deal? Because that's one, I know this is a pipe dream, but with something like Skubal, a team might say, listen, we can't just take lottery ticket prospects. Like, we love that, and maybe those guys will develop into it. But we got to sell our fan base with, like, a guy or two.
A big leaguer.
That plays right away.
And some minor leaguers.
And maybe you could spin it that way. Like, hey, this guy was top 10 in the MVP a couple years ago.
Gold Glove finalist.
And apparently...
He was only a Gold Glove finalist because Rafaela was playing second base and shortstop. He wasn't playing center field.
I didn't say why he was a Gold Glove.
I just said
he was a Gold Glove.
And
finalist.
I just said that's not the best metric.
But I would throw that in the Tigers' face or whoever's trading for Duran. I'd be like, the guy, he had a down year hitting and fielding.
You want triples?
He was a Gold Glove finalist.
You love triples? You need like a triple giveaway?
You want a guy who should steal like 50 bags but somehow steals like 25? Yeah. That's your guy.
You want a guy that'll holler at the fans? He'll turn around and holler at the fans. He might even fight a fan here and there. You want that guy?
Oh, he's tried to fight some fans.
He'll climb the wall. He tried to climb the Green Monster once to fight a fan. About halfway up.
617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls here on Jones and Keefe. We will get to the Patriots. Tommy Curran thinks they could lose to the Giants.
That's what I heard.
I mean, he thinks they could lose three in a row.
He's not predicting it, but he wouldn't be surprised. It's that sweet spot of no real prediction.
He also thinks he'd take J.J. McCarthy over Drake May.
He loves J.J. McCarthy.
So we'll get to that at 11 o'clock. Would You Rather Wednesday, hashtag Dork Minute. We got Pure Hoops with Turk. We got a Key for Madness. We got the Jackson 5. Bozo touchdown parlay.
It's too much.
On Thanksgiving. But it's not all, Keith. Rich Keefe.
Yeah.
Almost made the Real World.
So close.
Got a call back on Real World Denver?
I think it was Denver. It was like 06. MTV called my house.
Okay.
Called my house. House phone.
Let's get Keefe on Traders.
He's
applying.
I don't ask for much.
For season 5.
Yeah. The first normie season.
First normie season.
No fake celebrities.
Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.